ones who believe that life here began out there, far across the universe, with tribes of humans who may have been the forefathers of the Egyptians, or the Toltecs, or the Mayans. Some believe that there may yet be brothers of man who even now fight to survive somewhere beyond the heavens.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
In the year 1978, a young boy aged 5 desperately wanted more after seeing the movie Star Wars in the theater. The geek gods heard this cry and gave the child 2 TV shows that quenched his thirst as Battlestar Galactica debuted, followed a year later by Buck Rogers in the 25th century. Please join this 5-year-old, now in his late 40s, Sean Kidd, and his watch companion Scott Shiflett, as Sean relives, remembers, and re-watches his 2 favourite TV shows as a young man, and Scott watches them for the first time. This is Battlestar in the 25th century.
The year is 1987, and NASA launches the last of America's deep space probes. In a freak mishap, Ranger 3 and its pilot, Captain William Buck Rogers, are blown out of their trajectory into an orbit which freezes his life support systems and returns Buck Rogers to Earth 500 years later.
Place to Be Nation, pop. Welcome to what I believe is episode 4 of Battlestar in the 25th Century. I am your host, Sean Kidd, and I am joined by my co-host, Scott Shiflett. How are you doing tonight, Scott?
Sean, I am doing great. I'm looking forward to talking about this episode of Buck Rogers today. It is a lot of fun and a lot of... I just want to say drugs were involved with some of this stuff.
Well, you know, drugs and potentially a lot of sex. We'll have to see how that plays out tonight, but... it's drugs, there's sex, there's crazy dancing, there's just a lot of good stuff tonight. So what we are watching tonight is the series premiere part 2 of Buck Rogers, Awakening Part 2. And if you remember on our last episode where we ended, Buck and Wilma had just arrived on the Draconian ship. You know, they were there to do kind of a spy thing to kind of see if they had weapons or not. Well, they get into the bay, and all of a sudden, the Draconian ship is attacked by pirates. But what we know that you as the audience don't know is that the pirates are actually Draconians in disguise to kind of a facade to make it look like the pirates are attacking the Draconians to kind of throw off Wilma and Buck from the scent that the Draconians are actually coming to Earth to conquer it with weapons. So what do you think, Scott, so far? I mean, as we head into this episode, what did you expect based on episode 1 of the series premiere?
I was expecting some space fights, because that's definitely what the first episode ended with. We were going to get some space battles, which is always fun. I'm wondering if it's going to use the same 3 shots that our famous Battlestar uses, because they used all their money for, I guess, to build some sets. But looking forward to that. I'm looking to see if our boy old Buck Rogers is going to bed, the princess and Wilma. So I'm interested to see where that goes, because it definitely seems like, he might have a threesome, which seems a little risque to have on NBC in the 70s.
Well, let's really look at it from a standpoint of there is no losing choice in either one of those women. I mean,
oh,
either
absolutely
one,
not.
Probably very different experiences in terms of... probably the sexual prowess, but probably pretty satisfying either way, I would say, probably.
I 100% agree. They are easy on the eyes.
They are indeed. So whether you want a little more provocative, you're going to go with the princess. If you went a little more serious and, you know, bitchy and probably would probably mess you up pretty bad, it would probably be Wilma. That would probably be the way I would give my perspective on either one of those.
Yeah, Wilma would be the one you take home to mom. The princess is the one that, you know, you have the freaky sex with.
Well, the one you take home to mom, but behind closed doors when mom's not around, probably a little bit of a nut. That's probably what I would suggest that Wilma is.
I can see that as well.
All right. So with that, are we ready to jump into Awakening Part 2?
Yes.
All right. So we have fast-forwarded through a lot of the parts of, you know, the intro. We fast-forwarded through the intro, and then we also fast-forwarded through the recap. And I think we're sitting at 4 minutes and 40 seconds, and you should be frozen on Wilma. Wilma and Buck have just run up the stairs to get into their starfighters, and Wilma is putting on her head, and it says also starring, what's his name as Kane?
Henry Silva.
Henry Silva is Kane, so that's where we're at. So I'm going to say 3, 2, 1, and we're going to press play. So you're about 4 minutes and 40 second mark is where we're at. So Scott, are you ready? I'm going to do the countdown, and we're going to jump right into it.
Born ready, Sean.
All right. 3, 2, 1, play. All right, so the opening shot, Wilma's putting her helmet on. The pirate ships are flying into the bay and shooting into the bay. Buck is getting into his ship now, and they're going to go out and try to fight these, pirate ships or whatever. And here we go with these great little shots of them flying through the bay as they launch. I love these shots, by the way.
I love the shots of them going through the bay. You know, there's the same maneuvering stick that we were seeing Battlestar in the show. It's great. They even have like the same fire button and the same two other buttons on the side for their arcade little joystick. It's a nice little continuity thing that I see. I like to believe they're both in the same universe, Sean. That's what I'm starting to
Well, I get it. And okay, so we have five of the starfighters. And we have these random starfighters that were with Wilma and the Buck that we are now going to eat shit. And there's one gone already. And Wilma's looking around like, oh, shit. And Wilma's yelling at Buck because he's told her to stay out of it. And he's basically giving her shit, saying she doesn't know what she's doing and all her people are going to die.
I love it. She goes, I told you to stay out of this. He said, Colonel, I'm giving you all the help you can get. And then, like, Buck, like, tells them, like, 12 o'clock. And they're like, what's 12 o'clock? As they get destroyed. It's awesome.
Yep. So now they've killed two. And Buck, every time they shoot someone, Wilma looks like she's really upset. And then Buck just shakes his head at the sheer stupidity. And there goes another one. So now they're down to they've destroyed three. The other shot I love in this is when they're in the ship close up in their faces, and you can tell they're just kind of in this simulation model that's rocking back and forth on a blue screen, and it looks really cheesy.
Yeah, and like I just love it. Like they just showed a thing, a scene of like Buck's like, oh, switching to manual, and they're like, we always use the computers, and it shows that Buck is, I guess, supposed to be smarter than the computers for, their dog fighting that they're about to do.
Well, the one thing I've learned about NASA now, so we've learned that NASA 1987 teaches you karate, 1987 NASA teaches you military strategy, and 1987 NASA also teaches you how to pilot a ship in the 25th century that the technology didn't even exist for in 1987.
I mean, the man can do it all. I'm starting to think he was actually a spy sent into the future to see what he can do to bring back.
See, like that scene with Wilma. You see how her like little pod's like rocking. It's like that little automated arm, and it's like a roller coaster ride, and they're just like close up on it.
I will say, Sean, that the graphics for this are a little bit better than Battlestar with the space fighting scene. They're not all the same stock footage. So,
well, not yet.
I don't know if it's yet, but yeah.
Remember, this is a series premiere that played in the theater, so we haven't even gotten to the true show yet. Just like Battlestar, we haven't gotten to the true show yet until the next one we watch.
Now I can't look away from when it shows them from the side view, and they're like, in like a simulation, and he's just rocking back and forth like an old man.
Yeah, look at that. Like, I love these. So I love these ships. I might like these ships more than the Battlestar ones. I think they're pretty cool looking. And then they also have the little insignias on the side as well. And I like the Draconian the pirate ships. Those are pretty badass. So I think the ships in this are pretty cool.
Yeah, the ships are awesome. I love how like they're not supposed to look like new ships, supposed to look like war-torn ships, which I brought up in the last episode. I think that's a nice little touch, because sometimes you see it's like, oh, these ships are supposed to be, bad. like are beat up and they look brand spanking new. This one looks like it's seen some shit. I did like, Sean, how it showed them like flying through the desert, which I guess is supposed to be Chicago, as we learned from last episode. So like the barren wasteland. Wilma's talking to Buck now.
I also like that they had the people standing in a little red radar. So we've seen that like what, 5 or 6 times between this show and Battlestar, that same scene with the red radar.
Yes.
Wilma's here basically saying, you know, you're under arrest because they didn't believe your story. And he goes, what are you going to shoot me? And he goes, I'm going to walk away. He goes, where would I go? He goes, I'm walking away until you get your shit together. He's basically giving her shit and telling her that he basically makes Wilma think that she just sucks at what she does, which she really does, by the way.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's like, yeah, what are you going to do? Shoot me? The only place I can go is 500 years in the past. So it's like, all right, well. And then, like, basically puts everyone down. It's like, won't we cut off this nonsense till you people get your act together? He's so great.
Yeah, cut your shit is basically what he says. So now we got Tweaky with Theo, your favorite penis-headed little robot.
Yes.
Talking about where the rabbit is, or where Buck is, and find out the Princess Ardala wants to personally thank Buck for saving the ship from the pirates. And single-handedly do it. And of course, Wilma takes offense because she was out there too. And she goes, I don't care what the princess feels. I know what happened. So she's very jealous here. Definitely has the hot steamies for Buck and is very jealous of the princess, knowing that she's going to sink his claws into him.
Yeah. I mean, 100% right on that. It's definitely some. And what's amazing is they have like this feud, but it's just one sided because the princess doesn't even know who the hell Wilma is. And Wilma's like, nope, I'm going to. You know, she's a bitch. And Kane comes in and they show the princess, and Kane comes in, was like, you know, calls her your princess. And she says, oh, I'm your princess, like a possession. So it's like.
And what do you desire, me or my throne, is what she says. And, you know, I think it's a no-brainer here. I mean, I think Kane probably wants the throne. But if I were him and I was this big strategic military guy, I would try to figure out how I nail both.
Yes, I'm a weak man, Sean. I would have chose the girl, not the Empire.
Well, I would have been a little more strategic and figured out how to get the girl and the throne at the same time. But in the moment, I probably would have picked the girl.
Yes.
And I'm at my first commercial. How about you?
Yeah, me as well. As they it ended before the commercial, it said that they're going to conquer Earth tomorrow. So this is something that's been building up since the first episode of this is, you know, the Draconians who try to act like they're Earth's friends. Spoiler alert, they're not. They're the ones that sent the pirates, as Sean said at the start of the podcast. They sent the pirates, you know, so we would need the Draconians, but it's all been a ruse for them to basically just take over Earth.
What do you think of the opening of this? So we jumped right into this war fight. The Earth defenses immediately lose most of their pilots. Buck figures out how to fly this manually, takes Wilma to school, destroys all the pirates, and now he's back on the Draconian ship, or he's back on Earth. He's the hero, and Princess Ardala wants to thank him personally by getting naked for him and jumping his bones. What do you think of this opening? Pretty good opening, if you ask me.
A lot happened in 6 minutes, and it's amazing. I like the fast pace. I'm not, you know, I don't know if it's because I'm younger, but I like the fast pace. You know, we're doing a lot here. They call it in wrestling the crash TV, but I'm okay with it. It's a lot happening. Because when, as we see at the later part of this episode, when they slow it down a little bit, it doesn't really work for me personally. But I enjoy it. And I will say, if Earth was around for all this time, they're lucky for Buck because they seem pretty inept. So I can see why they were getting, you know, their asses whipped by the Draconia pirates.
And it's no wonder that Earth ended and was destroyed by nuclear war, because clearly Buck Rogers wasn't in charge then. And here he is.
Yeah, he would have stopped it like Jack Ryan.
Yeah, he would have stopped the nuclear war, just like Jack Ryan. Very good comparison on Buck Rogers and Jack Ryan. So, all right, so we're still in commercial. We'll be out of commercial in a minute. We find out later that there are 29 other princesses that next to Ardala, who her sisters. What do you think about why they would pick Ardala to be the princess out of everybody? Because I can't imagine she's the smartest tool in the shed out of all those options.
I took it as she was the oldest, and that's how she got it, because their other ones can just step up and take her spot after she fails.
Well, Jesus, how old do you think they are? Because she looks awfully young in this.
I have a note that just says, the king fucks.
I I love it. I absolutely love it. All right, so we're back. Are you back for commercial?
Yes, I am back from commercial.
All right, so here we are. We're at this big celebration. I love these. So we talked about in Battlestar Galactica when they do these big receptions. They had their little coats and their capes. And here I would say, what would you say, some kind of space pirate outfits they wear for formals here?
Yeah, they look like that. They have a mixture of like what I imagine like the British people wear when they host their formal parties. So I don't know if it's supposed to be like a holdover from that. But it's like, and like Buck's wearing this weird red sash that I can't figure out what to do with, and he has gloves on and everything.
It's like a space pirate Sinbad is what he looks
like. Oh, that's very good. That's very good. And go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm listening.
I was saying, and he was talking to Tweaky, and he asked him that, told him that he had a headache and asked for a headache, something to relieve the pain. That's going to come in handy shortly.
It sure will. So here we are. Dr. Hewer is talking about the alien vessel above the sky, military spacecraft, and is trying to tell all of these people here on Earth that it's a war machine. It's come to us, but it's been stripped of all its weaponry. And I also, Dr. Hewer is not the smartest tool in the shed either. He's supposed to be this big kind of authority figure on Earth. And everything he says or everything he thinks through, he seems pretty stupid to me.
I agree. Like, I think he just won because they were like, this guy's a moron. We got to give him something to do. Let's just make him the face of the operation.
All right. So he's introducing the princess, and holy shit. Wow. What do you think about this outfit?
She looks amazing.
So why don't you describe the outfit to our audience? Go ahead.
Well, all right. She has like horns on her head, like a ram, but it's like a gold headdress attached to the ram. And she's basically wearing a bikini that's full of diamonds. She has the body to pull it off.
She does. I mean, she's amazing, and she's coming on. I mean, she just looks absolutely. She says, "I bring greetings on this historic occasion," and they're doing this big ceremony. And Buck is looking at her. Wilma's looking over at Buck, and he's smiling at Wilma. And Wilma's just giving him that really seductive look. It's just Buck is just in a great situation here between these two ladies right now.
And Sean, this is going to, I think, my favorite scene of the episode, the dancing scene.
Oh, God. So I want you to explain this, since because I've seen this many times. I want you to kind of give your vibe and feel. We can't do the music justice either because the music itself is awful.
It's like some weird synth music that I guess they expect like people of the future to listen to, which I think synth type music was something in the 80s. I don't know, but they're trying to dance and like, it's basically, God, it's the movie with Judge Dredd where, like, Sly Stallone and Sandra Bullock say they don't have sex anymore. They just do it, like, with their minds.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
This is sort of what it's like with them dancing. Like, they're, like, basically stuck away, like, it's, like, COVID back then. And they're, like, dancing all, but it's, like, synchronized. They have their hands stuck out. They're not touching each other.
So would you call this the 25th century version of Dirty Dancing?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Like, there's no touching allowed. It's like a dance at, like, you know, like a Bible school or something.
What do you think about these little balls that they hold on the top of their hands? What's with the balls?
I don't know. I was trying to figure that out too. Like, maybe I was like, maybe it's like a significance or not, but like nothing is brought up. It's like just some random prop that they threw out.
So Buck is now walking up to Ardala, who's sitting down. He's giving her a rose, and she's thanking him for saving her life from the pirates, and kisses her hand. Kane looks at him very disapprovingly, very angry that Buck Rogers is here, and basically he tells her, I hope. Anyway, he's giving her the rose now, and she's just all about Buck, and, you know, she just wants to jump his 500-year bones.
Yeah, I mean, she's wanted it from the beginning where Kane said that they found a 500-year-old man. And she's like, what does he look like? It's like, damn, just from the jump. Like, Kane, how ugly are you in her eyes that she's like, I don't want you. I want this 500-year-old man who's been frozen basically in carbonite.
So Buck asks her to dance, and Kane goes, the princess does not. And then the princess said she would like to. So now, God, that outfit is freaking ridiculous. So anyway, Buck in his Sinbad pirate gear. Now there's Wilma looking very disapprovingly. And now Buck, So we've already talked about all the things that NASA 1987 teaches you. I guess it also teaches you how to dance with a hot princess with a ball on the back of your hand, because he picks it up pretty easily.
And then this is like,
this is terrible. This is like all time bad stuff. Oh, so Buck gets tired of the bullshit music and he goes up to the space DJ and go, "Hey, do you know any rock?" And he's sitting there trying to simulate rock because he looks like the most uncool guy trying to dance. I mean, this whole thing is just a disaster.
Yeah, like, I got like secondhand cringe watching this, like, because, you know, Buck probably in real life thought he was like hot shit, because he's like, "Look at me dancing. The show's all about me."
Oh, look at him. Look at him. He just did a little thrust with his pelvic area. He's just terrible.
He said, "All right, fine. Get down and boogie." And I was like, please kill me. Like, when I was watching this, Buck trying to dance. It is not. It's a low light after starting off so hot.
Oh, look at her, though. I could watch her dance. Holy
yes. Shit.
So I love how quickly she picks it up, and she's a stripper now. That's how. And look at all the guys just staring like, what's going on here? And, oh, God. This is amazing.
And I just realized, like, the women that are not, like, in the military or anything are dressed like they're in Disney World, and they're, like, cosplaying as the princesses.
Oh, that's brilliant. Great value princesses. That's brilliant.
Yes.
But look at, man, they're totally into this. What happens if we bump together? We automatically become man and wife. Look at Tweaky getting down now. This is great.
Yeah, Tweaky starts dancing. He has more rhythm than everyone in that room combined.
Oh, she's telling what a man you are, and she's just hovering back and forth, and he does, look at that little spin. I wish I was cool as Buck Rogers.
And Kane's just watching like a sourpuss that he is, about to cry.
Look at all these people around him just staring at him in awe about, what are they doing? Oh, look at Eva. Oh, Kane is pissed. he's just such an angry man.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably had, like, you know, did you watch, Game of Thrones, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's probably like that guy that had to, I can't remember his name. I try to banish a lot of that show from my mind after the last season. But he's like, who was the guy that got grayscale and was in love with Khaleesi the whole time, but stuck in the friend zone?
I know. I can't remember his name either right now.
Yeah, that's Kane.
Yes. Oh, and he's giving her shit. He's like out on the dance floor saying, "We got business to take care of." And she gives him shit. He goes back, "We have 29. King has 29 other daughters." So Kane kind of pulling the ranking here and basically telling her to get her head out of her crotch and do her fucking job is what he just told her. Ooh, and I have a private, I leave on a private shuttle at midnight. So she basically invites him back to her bedroom.
This is where it gets good. Buck Rogers, after leaving, runs into Wilma. And she's saying, "I'd like to be your friend." Basically throwing herself at him.
Hey, have you ever noticed when Wilma talks sometimes her mouth barely moves? Like it's almost like a ventriloquist. Watch her mouth when she talks. There's a couple of like when she tries to look hot, sometimes if she tries to get seductress, her mouth like quits moving a little bit. "I've never found myself crying and laughing, and I'm angry at you, and I just met you, but I'm having all these feelings I've never felt before." It's like she's all into him, and she like, what is it with these women who look at her? Dude, she's hot right there. Look at that face.
She is hot.
I was wrong, and they freaking make out. Like, she totally makes out with him.
And then Buck's checking his watch to make sure it's not time so he doesn't miss the princess. What a pimp.
He is a pimp. I mean, he doesn't want a quick kiss at her, but he also has a mission that he's trying to do here. And I admire Buck for that, because he keeps his mind in the game and on the ball of what he's trying to accomplish at his own expense of his crotch. Did you like that? Yeah, it was first class. See, you see how her mouth didn't move just then?
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. And then she goes, "Would you like to go someplace?" So Buck has now gotten two offers from two women in a span of 2 minutes. By two very hot women. No, I told you, man. When she tries to get seductive or whatever, her mouth just quits moving. It's weird.
If maybe she started dancing like the princess, I wouldn't be bothered. Oh, and I'm at an ad.
Oh, really? I'm not at the ad yet. Okay, I'm at the ad, so you're a little bit ahead of me. Okay. So anyway, so Buck basically says, "We'll get back into this later," and walks away from Wilma. After we get back from commercial, obviously the big game and kind of the setup for the rest of the show is coming. So what do you think so far? So We had the great opening. What did you think of the second set before this next set of commercials? What did you think about that whole thing with the dancing and all that crazy shit?
Well, the dancing was maybe one of the worst scenes I've ever seen. And I watch wrestling on a weekly basis. So that was a rough scene to get through. It's like, I've had this thing where I'm watching like TV shows and like something cringeworthy happens and I want to change the channel just to get through that scene. That's how I felt right there with them dancing. Luckily, it wasn't that good. It wasn't that long because Kane had to come and cock block basically because he's not getting any love now that, you know, our boys are out there.
But was it really bad though? I mean, if you look at it from a comedy standpoint and Buck being out of his element, yeah, it's kind of cringeworthy, but you can't tell me you weren't entertained by that whole scene.
Oh, no, I was entertained. Like, I even love that, like, they had Tweaky dancing. And, like, you know, we see, like, Wilma doing about face because she's been fighting with her emotions the whole time. And now she's, like, you know, I was like, oh, I want to get with Buck. I love him. So it's very interesting. Like, it's keeping me interested. Like, I want to see what happens next.
But it's so guardrail to guardrail. One minute she hates him, wants to arrest him, thinks he's a spy. The next minute she wants to jump in the sack with him. I almost feel like she's putting herself out there because she saw the princess was about to jump on it and she didn't want the princess to take her man. And like, have you ever met a woman and fell in love with a woman as quickly as these two women have fallen in love with Buck?
Can't say I have, Sean.
Yeah, me neither. And so I guess what we need to do is we need to go up in a spaceship and just fly through space for 500 years. And we'll get all the hot women we want. That's what exactly. I've deducted from this show now at this point.
All right, I need to figure that out. We also need to join NASA first so I can learn how to karate fight and do dog fighting.
Well, we need to learn how to do karate. We need to learn how to do dog fighting. And we need to learn the military expertise of strategy for the 25th century. So I would imagine if we join NASA, we could probably get right on that. Unfortunately, I'm way out of shape. Probably more so than Buck is, and NASA probably would not accept me.
I'll tell them I'll work on the weight issue if they just teach me what they have to, you know.
If they can guarantee me, if they can guarantee me a princess and Wilma Daring are going to fight between me, I would lose all the weight in the world.
Yeah, me too. It would be like, all right, I'm working for something.
All right, we're back, and Buck is in her shuttle. Are you back on too, by the way?
Yes, I'm back.
So we're back in the shuttle. Tiger Man's in a room, and she's basically telling Tiger Man to fuck off because I'm about to get my sex on. That's what I interpreted here, right?
That's all, yeah. And I love how when Buck walked in, he was singing Chicago, Chicago, You're On My Mind. I don't know why. It just made me laugh. Like, he's such a dork.
And there's Tweaky popping his little penis head out of this freezer or whatever the hell it is.
He makes a sex joke right here.
All orders are to stick to Buck, and he may need us, so back in the cooler. Tweaky.
And then Tweaky says, my micro discs are turning blue. He's getting blue balls.
That's so great. I love it. I absolutely love it. So here we are. There's Wilma and Huer, and he's not there to be found, and she's all pissed off now and calls him a primitive. And she's just angry because now she feels like Buck abandoned him, and she goes, you are a spy. So just because Buck turned her down, now he's a spy all over again.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of military strategist is Wilma? Because I feel like she's pretty bad.
She is. Like, all these people are bad. They're just, like, do no due diligence with the Draconians. They're just like, yeah, I'll take your ship. Like, oh, you've been protecting me? Like, these ships sort of look like the pirate ships.
Well, there's here we go.
Yeah.
So they walk into they're in the bedroom scene now, and she kicks Tiger Man out. And she asked Buck to make her a drink so I'll get a little more comfortable. And she head right to the bed, man. She's like going right to it.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, man.
And then Buck's like, oh, he got the Bill Cosby going right now. He tries to poison her. I mean, drug her.
Yeah, he's totally, I would like to get you drugged up so I can take advantage of you. That's what she's doing right now. Oh, my God, she's so free. This is ridiculous, man.
Yeah, she looks amazing right there.
I love her hair. I love her outfit. I mean, this is just absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, she looks amazing. So there's no denying that.
She goes, I have a confession to make. I didn't realize what I was missing. Dude, she is a total seductive, man.
Oh, 100%. I would have. Yeah.
You're different. You're arrogant. You flagrantly disregard orders. And you're the kind of man who would unseat my father. He goes, your father's seat is the furthest thing from my mind. What a sweet line.
I mean, it is the...
Go ahead. I was just clearing my throat.
No, I'm saying it is the truth. Like, he's like, that would be the last thing. And 29 sisters nipping at your heels.
So I wonder what the other 29 sisters look like.
I would like to think, Sean, that they're like, you know how Ego from Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
Yes.
Had all these different kids. I like to think it's like that. Like, he went to every different planet and had sex, and they're all like different little alien kids.
Or they're just random. Like, she's the hottest one, then you got the fat one, the ugly one, and you kind of got like the 29 dwarfs of the Draconian King. That's what I imagine. And this is like clearly the hottest one.
Yes.
All right. So Buck has drugged the drink, and he just gave it over to the princess, and she took a sip. We have the Draconian warriors running down the hallway for whatever reason. I don't know why they're running. Just randomly running for no reason.
I want to know how Tweaky got from inside the room to, like, in the hallway. Like,
Tweaky's a little creepy. Oh, look at that. He's on the bed. So I guess they were getting ready to get her groove on, and then we didn't see what happened, and she's drugged, and Buck lays her out on the bed. So now he's got to figure out how to get past Tiger Man. And he grabs Tiger Man's gun while Tiger Man's napping, standing up. Tiger Man turns around, karate chops him, and Buck shoots him. And he is frozen solid.
I love this. I love this, Sean.
That gun looks like a freaking Kmart special, doesn't it?
It looks like a wooden gun. Like a wooden gun. That's what I thought it was at first. I had to rewatch it the first time I watched it. And I was like, what?
Go ahead. Sorry, I'm listening.
I was just like, what the hell is going on? Like, because he froze him. And like, I love like the look of when he shoots the gun, and it's not what he expects at all. Like, he's like, what? And then he just picks him up. I mean, Buck's obviously pretty strong, because this guy looks like he's like 6'4" or 6'5", and just picks him up and carries him to the bed.
Yep, and that's a great scene, too, that's coming up, where he picks him up, he freezes him with the stun ray, drops him into bed with Ardala. Now Buck's running down to the hangar, and now he sees that the pirate ships are actually in the ship, and now it's come to fruition that the Draconians are definitely the pirates here.
Yep, he knew it. I love how he like takes the gun out and like puts it back in his holster when he's about to like fight these people.
Yeah, like, does that make any sense? Hey, I'm gonna hide my gun. This random fat schmo, fat Draconian, I call him. Like, Buck literally karate chops him to the face and knocks the guy out with the worst karate chop I've ever seen.
It was bad. It was bad. Ugh.
Like, hey, I wonder how much they paid these extras just to randomly run around the ship for the whole hour.
I would do it. I would 100% do it.
I would probably be out of breath.
Yeah.
All right, so now...
Once we get out of shot, I'll be, like, breathing all hard, leaning on people and stuff.
So Kane's now knocking at Ardala's door because Tiger Man's not on the outside, and she leans over to see if she thinks Buck's in the bed. She goes, did they wake you, darling? And she pulls the blanket down, and there's Tiger Man, and she screams her head off. And now they got to blast into the room. And, of course, they pick Tiger Man. Get out, execute him. That's so great.
Yeah, I feel bad for Tiger Man. He was just doing his job and got, like, blindsided. Now might get, like, executed or something. He's like, what the hell's going on?
All this poor guy did was his job, and she wants him executed. And Kane says, no, take him for questioning. And she goes, you supersede my order? And she goes, this time, yes, because... clearly, Princess is sticking with her vagina and can't do her queenly duties or princess duties.
Yep. Kane's starting to take over.
Look at her. She almost looks like, oh, and now Buck is knocked out the guard and now is put on the Draconian helmet. And he's going to
magically
go...
fits him.
Yeah. Well, and the guy was short and fat, too, so that was funny. But now he's going to go secretly infiltrate the Draconians and see what they're doing and do whatever Buck does. And then there's Tweaky. Like... literally, all they've done for the last 5 to 10 minutes is have Tweaky, like, hide out, run around, and have guards run around.
That you are 100% right on that.
Give the order to attack at once, and Kane says, we cannot attack without your father's forces to support us. And Ardala's angry because Buck drugged her and fooled her and calls him spineless.
Yep, and now we see Buck appear to be taking, I guess that's supposed to be bombs. It's never really... specified what they are and sticking them in ships so they'll explode when they take off, which is actually pretty smart.
Yeah, he's doing like the banana in the tailpipe thing, if you have seen that.
Except yes,
he's doing it with bombs, so when they take off, their ships will blow up. And of course, here comes Tweaky and Dr. Hewer. And Dr. Hewer's like, oh no, this means that the treaty is a hoax. And he still thinks Buck's a spy, even though it's very clear Buck is shoving freaking bombs into the tailpipes, you fucking idiot robot.
Well, yeah, and it's supposed to be the doctor, the computer doctor as well. It's supposed to be one of the smartest people on Earth. And they're like, we'll handle Rogers later.
So the Draconian outfit's weird. It's like a blue robe tied with a rope. That's really what it is.
Look, Tweaking pulled a gun on him.
Yeah, man. I mean, what's all these people pulling guns on Buck? Look at Tweaking. They're all freaking... Like, it's very clear what... Like, to me, it's very clear what Buck is doing here. And this council member robot who runs the freaking Earth can't even figure that out on his own. Like, that doesn't give me much hope for the future of the planet Earth.
No, it doesn't. I mean, they have the idiot, the village idiot who's in charge of Earth, who's like, come on in, Draconians, doors open, do whatever the hell you want.
So, and Theo's, I'm confused, and I'm sorry, you'll have to do better with that, and I'll come with us. And Buck says no, and look, you have a load of electrical gibberish.
That was a great line.
Yeah, clearly Buck is, no, you be quiet, Tweaky, I'm getting confused. I mean, this is supposed to be the smartest technology on the planet Earth, and he can't even figure out. Like, you would think that they'd be able to deduce, like, you know, strategy, what's happening here, and figure it out or sense things. These robots are terrible.
Yeah, Buck's been here like half a day and was like, Draconians are the bad guys. We got to do something about it. And they're like, are you sure, Buck? Are you sure you're sure?
Yeah, it's so he said, tell you. He so basically he goes, unless you want to consider yourself spare parts. Why don't you run along? And so now I guess Theo and Tweaky believe in him, and now they're going to leave Buck to his own devices.
Just let me do what I do.
I got to make sure none of these ships are ready to launch. So his strategy is really cool. Like, he's just going, we found a guard unconscious in Bay 3, so Buck is clearly missing. They know what's going on at this point, and they're obviously going to be looking for him.
I love how Tweaky's like, we'll do our part, Buck, and runs off. It's like, if they see you, they're going to, like, take you out immediately. Like, what the hell's going on?
You know what he's going to do? He's going to go run around the ship for the rest of the show.
Yeah. Just a little.
Or hide out. He's going to go hide out in the toilet or something and pop his head out of it or something like that.
Yeah, because he's a little creeper.
Take me over to the console, Tweaky. I can't get over Theo. I brought it up in the last episode. I can't get over the little kindergarten stickers inside his robot face. I just can't get over it. And I really want to know, I wish there was someone around from this show era that designed Tweaky that could explain to us why the helmet is a penis head, because there has to be some kind of rib in this, I would imagine.
Oh, 100%. They're like, let's see what we can get on TV. And yeah, it looks just like a penis.
What they were trying to do is give the show kind of an RTD2 /C3PO with a sense of humor. That's what they did.
That I couldn't say that better, Sean. Yes. Yeah.
All right, so now he's warning the Earth's defenses of what's going on. Wilma's picking up. And why do they look like they have, like, old-school walkie-talkies in the 25th century that she's talking in?
I don't know. And I love...
And by the way, it has a wire on it like a regular phone, too. So this is some pretty outdated shit in the 25th century, if you ask me.
And I love how, like, she starts asking the questions, and he's like, not right now. We got an emergency on our hands.
Yeah.
Basically tells her to shut up. It's great.
Yeah, the robot's awesome. Just, you know, shut up. All right, here we go. Look at that squatter fighters right there. That's badass.
Yep, and I just got taken to commercial after seeing that squadron that I thought got wiped out, but it's still around, so that's
well,
good.
Well, it's a different squadron now, because the other squadron flew off her ship. This one's coming from Earth. So what do you think so far? So we're getting into our end game after this commercial, I think. What do you think of the episode so far?
I'm enjoying it. It got back to where I needed to be. You know, we had to get – it took a while to get the people on the same page. Like, the doctor and Tweaky should have known, oh, Buck's trying to literally blow up the ships. Let's not pull a gun on him and, you know, play 21 questions while he's trying to do this. But
So if you were Buck Rogers and – Okay, I'm going to give you the choice. You have to make the choice. You can't pick. You have to pick one or the other. You would go before Wilma, you would go with Princess Ardala.
Ooh.
I want you to think long and hard about this.
I am.
So why are you going to go with Ardala?
Nice body. She has power.
Okay.
I would kill Kane immediately.
Okay. Do you think
humans on Earth seem to be morons when I'm the most smartest person? That's a cause for concern.
Well, in all fairness, the princess isn't very smart either.
Very true.
All right. What would you be afraid? Because obviously Ardala is very promiscuous, right? She doesn't really hide the fact that she's promiscuous, and I'm sure she's had many, many, many men. Would you be afraid of catching the space HIV if you were to sleep with her?
I've already lived for 500 years. What's another week?
That is the right answer. That's great. All right. So what are the okay? So let's weigh this, because clearly both these women are on my plate in my pop, you know, train harem, whatever you want to call. What do you think the benefit of Wilma over the princess might be if we had to weigh the other option? What would be the benefit?
Ooh, she's also not bad on the eyes.
Okay.
She can space fight, which is a plus. So if whoever gets in a sticky situation, I know she won't fold under pressure like the princess will.
Okay. See, I think strategy wise, I'm gonna go with Wilma first.
Okay.
Because I think there's a hidden side. Now we're back for commercial. I think there's a hidden side to Wilma that you will see in the space vampire episode I brought up. You wait till we get to that episode. You're going to question your decision on the princess.
Okay, I can't wait for that. You told me about it last time, and I can't wait. And I know it's like a couple months away, but...
It'll be worth the wait, I promise. All right, so we're back on here, and there's Buck down there just playing incognito, waving at him. He's such a
I love the wave. He's...
I really like, listen, I like Buck as a character. He's arrogant. He's cocky. You know, he's, I love him. I think he's
smarmy.
Great in this show.
That's what
he's
I love.
Smarmy. Yeah. Oh, and now all the ships are blowing up and the bay's blowing up. It's just fantastic.
And I was like, their ships, they simply explode. That's impossible. It's like, well, something's happening.
All the ships are taking, oh, look at that, the little forward rolls at the same time. This is awful. The little, this is so good. Oh,
look at this. You mentioned it. I love the takeoff bay because I just love all the different lights. It's amazing.
Well, I love that all three of those ships just took off and immediately they got outside and boom, they just blow up. It's so great. And then all these other starfighters, there are no bombers that are attacked. They're just exploding and Wilma doesn't understand what's going on. This is so awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, that would like freak out just about everyone. It's like, so when I saw this the first time and the one ship got through shot, I thought it was Buck. And I thought they were going to, like, shoot him, and he was going to have to figure out how to do it. I mean, it's not, but it's a regular pirate. But I was like, that's going to be some interesting storytelling.
So one Draconian got out. And it didn't last long.
Yeah, and one thing that Wilma taught them was, like, don't use the computer. Use, like, you know, the manual.
Yeah, because Buck told him to use manual.
Yep.
So Buck already making a lasting impact on the planet Earth. Oh, I love the little twirling on those ships. So what do you like? I mean, we thought, do you like these ships or do you like the ones in Battlestar? Do you like the Vipers or do you like these Starfighters better?
Ooh. I'm thinking because I think I might like these better because they seem to be a little bit better. Because we just know Apollo and Starbuck are only good, you know, pilots, but it seems to be they have better pilots in this, so that's good. So I'm gonna go with Buck.
Well, you'll have more pilots highlighted. Like we have Boomer that's on there as well, and a lot of the pilots you'll see on here besides Buck and Wilma, they really don't mean anything. These are the only two. Oh, now Buck's getting into a fight with Tiger Man.
This has some weird editing for me, Sean, because I don't know if I like looked away, but we're getting to it at this fight, and I would love if this was like some wrestler because this role seems tailor made for some wrestler from like the 70s or the 80s. Couldn't you see like Abdullah the Butcher playing Tiger Man or something?
Oh, yeah, but I think Abdullah the Butcher is too fat.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Did I share this with you on the episode about Tiger Man in this show? Like kind of similar to what they did with Baltar and Battlestar. Did I share that with you?
Yes.
So Tiger Man died in the movie, but they brought him back for the TV show.
Yeah, is this where that he was supposed to see like what happens there? Like it's like a weird cut, and then like he falls down and he puts like a bomb on him and it blows up.
Yeah, this is what it is. This is I think the scene where he died. Yeah, so in the movie he dies, but we actually do see him come back later on in the TV show.
And it's not like his like it's not like Tiger King's like brother. I mean, Tiger King.
Tiger King. Tiger Man.
Tiger Man. Sorry. It's not like Tiger Man's brother, like Lion Man or something. Like, you know how they would do on shows like that?
Well, they have a lot of it. They have Cheetah Man. They have a lot of these feline men. I'm just kidding. I don't know. This is your doing, Princess. I had a lot of, and so Kane's all pissed off, and she's just all frazzled. But he says, I want you alive so you can face your father. So he gets an emergency shuttle to get her off. So Kane really weird here. One minute he's pissed off with her, the next minute he's trying to save her life. So clearly he's got some sort of feelings for her.
I think he sees her as a bargaining chip because he can show that he can lead better than any of the kids can. And also he might be in love with her the way he's acted ever since old Buck Rogers came on board.
So, by the way, the next time you see Kane later in the show, this is the last time you'll see Harry Silva play him.
What?
They have a different Kane. I have to research the story as to why, but he doesn't return to the show. They have a different one that comes on. The next one looks a little bit like a Great Value Magnum PI. It doesn't look anything like this one.
Oh, that's not good.
Maybe they needed somebody more good looking to be in the role. I don't know. So anyway, Buck's still on the ship. Everything's blown up, and he's caught under all this equipment, you know, and it looks like it's pretty dire. And here comes Penis Head Tweaky and Theo to help him get out.
Yeah, and, like, Tweaky, like, you know, uses, like, the super strength that he has to, like, lift him up.
With his clips. With his little freaking clips. His clip hands.
With my strong hand.
So Wilma's flying it. Oh, that looks so terrible. Did you see that blue screen?
Yes, it was really bad.
So Wilma's flying into the bay to save Buck. And I love how they blow up all these little random extras, just kind of do the same fall and roll forward every time something blows up.
Hey, I want that job. If someone was like, I'll pay you $50 to do it, I'd be like, deal.
Man, I really love these ships. I need to get me one of these ships.
You need to find one.
I've been looking. I got all my Battlestar ships. I showed you the picture of that. I got all that in. But literally, like, the Buck Rogers. So I will tell you, the toy Starship Fighter on eBay for this ship, how much do you think it cost on eBay?
I'm going to say $100, maybe.
So the 1979 original toy that came out for this show for the Starships is $798 on
$798?
eBay. Yes.
They didn't even use that amount of money to make the show.
The figures, I mean, the Buck Rogers stuff is a lot of, like, this scene right here is pretty cool. Like, this is, I'm with you. I think some of the effects in this are a little bit better than Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, it definitely is. Like, I don't know if it's just because it's like a year later, but I just think it looks better. I do love the ship blowing up. That was nice.
Yeah, that's a nice visual. Yep.
And with everything in space, when it blows up, there's no debris. It's just clear. I mean, you see this in Star Wars all the time, too. So I can't say anything.
Like that ship. Okay, or a commercial again. But that ship blowing up. You remember in Battlestar Galactica, they had all the Battlestars blow up? But I thought that visual of the Draconian warship blowing up was better than Battlestar Galactica ship.
Oh, I agree. Especially when they blew it up and it looked like shit. I was like, are they like... with the electricity from the planet, it looked real bad. And this looked 100 times better than that.
All right, so we're getting near the end. We've kind of gone through the whole action. I think this has been kind of balls to the wall since the start. And if you remember in Battlestar, episode 2, before we got to the episode 3, really thought episode 2 would kind of drag. What did you think about all the action and from start to finish on where we're at now? What have you thought of this episode so far?
I enjoyed it. It was really balls to the wall besides the little dancing scene, but that was pretty fun because we saw Wilma's true colors and saw that the princess loves – everyone loves Buck. That should be the name of the show. So that everyone loves Raymond, it's everyone loves Buck because that man, everyone just loves him. And we'll see it with this final scene here, which as a message to you, this final scene that we have coming up, it just seems like it took forever and took all the wind out of the sails of the episode, in my opinion.
What you'll find on this show – Battlestar, you know, obviously Battlestar is not as, it takes itself a little more serious than this show does, obviously, because the main character on this show doesn't take himself too seriously. And it's kind of, I almost find this to be more of a fun watch because I like the humor. I like Buck as a character. Battlestar is good too, but it's more of a serious tone. What you'll find on these Buck Rogers shows at the end of every episode where they have major fights and major things go on, really the last 5 minutes or so of the show is them coming together, talking about what happened, and really cutting really stupid jokes to end the show. And that's unfortunately a trope we're going to see in almost every episode of Buck Rogers.
That's upsetting, because like this would have been like, I want people to go out of their way to watch the show anyway, but I was like, this is really good. Like, I know you lived through this, Sean, but when you first pitched this to me, I was like, this stuff's going to be bad. But I've been blown away by how much I've enjoyed these shows and just how everything is great with it, with the storylines and everything. It's something I could see being remade in this day and age.
Oh, and here we're back for a commercial, and we're on the escape shuttle. Kane gives her a bunch of shit about Buck, and she goes, I wouldn't have needed Buck if you were more of a man. I was like, holy shit. She just got savage on Kane.
Yeah, she's extremely mean to him. Like, damn.
And then Buck just made a titty joke about her having the nicest set of horns at the ball to Wilma.
Also, I find it weird that Tweaky's sitting in Buck's lap. Like, I know it's supposed to be a robot, but it's...
So Tweaky's looking at her ship and thinking of her, you'll get star sick, Buck. You're my kind of guy. And basically, Tweaky was getting a robotic boner in Buck's lap. That's
yep.
what was happening. Here's the scene you're talking about. We're back on Earth, and Buck is decorating his little apartment in 1970s retro. He's wearing 1970s retro. I don't know where he got those clothes.
It's real rough.
Yeah, it is very rough. He's got like a little, what is it, like a diner table with like this really ugly like cloth on it. Like, how did he get all these clothes? Oh, from the museum. I think a lot of the stuff he got from the Earth Museum, right?
Yeah, they got it from the Earth Museum where he tells a pretty decent joke, where they think the lamp shade was a electronic salad, which I thought was really good. I was like, oh, that's a nice little spin. And it makes sense because people wouldn't know what happened in that day and age because everyone died out and they were able to just keep some artifacts like we do now with museums.
I really don't like Wilma's hair here. What are we doing with the hair?
No, it reminds me of when Captain Marvel got a haircut in Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, so they're pitching him. They want Tweaky. Why does Tweaky always get kicked out? He gets no respect on this show.
It's adult time. Tweaky, get the hell out.
And he goes to ask them to have a seat on his little new furniture. Wilma doesn't really they don't look like they know how to sit down. They look very awkward with his little wood table in front of him. And they tell Buck, you're unique. And he goes, well, I think you're special people too. And then Wilma's just like, she is just so fascinated with his personality. And the other thing is weird because she kissed him on the ship and they haven't even revisited it. Like, it hasn't even come back up.
No, but she is giving him some fuck me eyes right now.
They're pretty severe.
Yes. Like, she can't take her eyes off of him.
So basically they're pitching them to join them as part of the Earth directed, or whatever you want to call it, as part of their... Because I think they realize without them, they're in big trouble.
Which is scary. It's like, what the hell you been up to? Just getting your ass kicked for 500 years?
Yeah, I have plans for you. He goes, as a fighter pilot, I think more. He goes, these are forces and things and people working against our very survival, Buck. And that was a weird cutaway real quick. That was weird. And everyone else from that day we were born, everyone including our Emmys, have records of each other. So basically, they want to use his expertise as someone that's dropped out of a different world, has no context to their planet, can go anywhere and do anything, be anyone, and not really give a shit. So they kind of want to use him for his, you know, his mind, because he doesn't think like the rest of them.
Yeah, there's like, you can go anywhere, be anything, be anyone. And he's like, nah, I'm good.
So earlier, Wilma goes, how about you join us, Buck? Earlier, Wilma tried to get him in a sack. Now they're trying to get Buck to join her on here. And Buck's about to say, hang on, wait for it. Look, I got attached to a lot of places, a lot of people. Oh, man, there's some weird cutaways going on here. A lot of good times in another century. But what I'm trying to tell you is I'm afraid he says no. Like, he basically has just told Wilma no twice in this show.
Which, it's pretty ballsy for him to say no, Sean, because they could just be like, all right, we'll get the hell out of here. Like, you know, go live with those weirdos where we saw your parents' grave that somehow persevered for 500 years. So, all right, leave. That's pretty ballsy of Buck.
Yeah, and they basically said, you know, we'll keep you in mind. Wilma and I will keep track of you. I bet Wilma will. And then he asks, is there any purpose to the tree? He goes, well, sure, it's a natural living growing thing, and it takes antiseptic edge off of this place. And he's basically telling them about the whole decoration and everything. And, again, this is where they find out where he got them from, the archives, or from Dr. Junius, if he thinks I know, you know, he's a nice man, a little mixed up about history. You know, so he's just, like this whole last 5-10 minutes of this is just very, very unnecessary. You know, you come in, you ask him to join to direct it, and if you say no, you say no. And then basically now they're staring at him like they're crazy with his bullshit decorations, and he basically says deep down inside you like these decorations, and they're just like, no, we don't, because they have no humor and no sense of anything.
Yeah, it's like, now we're good.
And we are out. So that ends the episode, and that ends the series premiere of Buck Rogers. So really ends it kind of on a cliffhanger a little bit, where they ask him to join the directorate. He says no, and that's the end of the movie. But obviously, we are going to move into the TV series when we get back to Buck Rogers in a month. So because our next episode, we go back to Battlestar. So all said, all things in. Scott, what did you think of Buck Rogers series premiere episode 1 and episode 2? What did you think of the show?
Like you said, I think I enjoyed it more than Battlestar because it doesn't take itself quite as serious. Also, we don't have an alcoholic captain like we have in Battlestar. So, you know, that's always good. And I like Buck. He's just like corny. He's like the corny, like, you know, crappy dad jokes. He's super corny. He thinks he's the coolest man. I hope he dances in every episode now. I'm looking forward to this. I mean, I will say I enjoy Battlestar too because of just like the lore that they have with that, and that's more interesting. But for like, you have to pay attention the whole time when you're watching this. Like, I can like let my mind wander a little bit more with Buck Rogers when I'm watching it. But with Battlestar, it's like I got to be fully paying attention because if I miss like a second, it's like, well, shit, I just missed something.
Well, so, yeah, Buck Rogers is the easier fun watch, whereas Battlestar is more of the serious. You got to pay attention to what's going on. Watch their two very different shows set in specific times, very Star Wars feel, but all said, very different shows if you really think about it.
Oh, it really is. And it's awesome. And like, you know, I got somehow NBC app screwed up and I got a couple seconds behind you and I got to just listen to the great closing outro song for Buck Rogers.
Yeah, so I think on this one we're gonna still play out the great outro from the last one. We're gonna play that out again because that'll probably be the last time we hear that for Buck Rogers. We're gonna go to the normal song, so you got one more chance to listen to the 70s porn Buck Rogers, right? So
it's great.
All right, so Scott, in saying that, on our next episode, we are going back to Battlestar Galactica. And we are going to episode 4, and that episode is called Lost Planet of the Gods, and it's part 1 of a 2-parter. So you'll get this one. This one's really cool, the setup of this. So we just went through a year of COVID, right?
Yeah.
So listen to this summary for next episode that we're going to watch of Battlestar. Lost Planet of the Gods, part 1. With many warriors suffering from an unknown ailment, the Galactica recruits new Viper pilots, mostly young women, including Apollo's new bride, Serena. That is the summary of Lost Planet of the Gods that we're going to be watching next episode. What do you think of that summary?
Oh, my God. I can't wait. It's just like that. And it also gives some World War II vibes with Rosie the Riveter, with like the men going away or being sick and the women having to step up to the plate.
I just think it's funny that there's this space COVID that wipes out the whole ship. So what ample timing for us to watch this show.
Oh, we're getting there. We're getting there.
All right.
Can't wait for it, Sean.
Yep. So that'll be in 2 weeks after this drops. We'll go back to Battlestar Galactica. And that we'll actually do Battlestar Galactica 2 episodes in a row because it's a 2-parter. So unfortunately, our next Buck Rogers is not a month away. It's probably about 6 weeks away. But it gave us a strong opening context of what the show is. We'll get back into Battlestar, and then we'll come back after those 2-parters and go back to episode 3 of Buck, which is also a 2-parter. And I think I told you about has Jack Palance in it as the Jesus Christ-like figure Khalil. So we got really two bangers with Battlestar and Buck Rogers coming our way on the next set of episodes. So they should be pretty exciting.
So I do have a question for you. Was it common for these shows to have like 2-parters back in the day?
These shows, yes. Both Buck and Battlestar have multiple 2-part episodes.
Okay.
because there's so much great, you can't fit it into 1 hour.
I mean, I do agree. So, you know, I'm not going to fight you on that.
Yeah, so more to come on that. So, Scott, with that, we end episode 4 of Battlestar in the 25th Century. Anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, I can be found on Twitter at Scott_Shiflet. By the time you're hearing this, we'll be back with Pop Goes to the Couch, talking about myself, Sean Kidd, Andy Atherton, and Tim Capel. We'll be talking about Falcon and Winter Soldier. Be on the lookout for Blockbuster Rewind as well. We'll be recording that most current episode yet. And that's it.
All right. And for me, you can find me on Twitter at NWA Crack and Roll. The NWA Crack and Roll podcast has just been a busy freaking month of March. We had the Nikita Koloff interview. If you like wrestling, Crockett-era Nikita, please listen to that interview. It's really good. We did a special episode looking at Starrcade 83 and 84 with Jacob Williams. And Starrcade 85 should be dropping the same day as this podcast drops. So we've been building now for the last 8 months of that pod, getting Starrcade 85, and we're finally there. And we actually have Scott Criscolo on there as a guest, so that's a really great listen as well. I got Chicken Salad. The latest one was WrestleMania 9. The next episode will be WrestleMania 27. You can find me on Highway to the Impact Zone. And just like Scott said, you can find me over on Pop Goes to the Couch. So with that, I am Sean Kidd. He is Scott Shiflet. We will see you guys again for Battlestar in the 25th Century, going back to Battlestar Galactica in 2 weeks. We'll talk to you then.